You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Running with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell.
And songwriters meet here, too. That was our opening music, and we thank Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band for providing Hot Texas for us to open the show. Jim, we have
all sorts of guests tonight.
House tonight. Who do we have with us tonight?
First, we have Henry Park. He's the film editor of True West Magazine.
Hey, Henry.
Hi, guys.
And then who else will we have?
We will have Daryl Arnold, famous poet.
Hello.
And we will have Tom Hyatt, famous musician.
In a few moments. They'll be joining us. But first, we're going to talk to our good friend, Henry Park. Yeah. It's the first Thursday of the month, and we get to rendezvous with Henry, film editor for True West Magazine. How you doing, Henry?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
What's going on out there in the world of film?
Well, did a fun thing earlier this week, working with your pal C. Courtney Joyner. Did my 26th audio commentary on a Western, and did one with Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin. Remember what that one was?
Help us out.
Paint Your Wagon.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Paint Your Wagon. I think Clint sang in it, didn't he?
They both did. Lee Marvin had a hit with I Was Born Under a Wandering Star. It was a hit in Europe. It actually knocked the Beatles' Let It Be down to second place.
Oh, wow.
But there are some very cool live events involving classic Westerns happening now. In the near future, the 33rd Lone Pine Film Festival will be held in Lone Pine, California from October 5th through the 8th. I'll be there representing True West Magazine. And it is unique among film festivals because it takes place right by one of the most popular Western movie locations. You can watch Hopalong Cassidy shooting at someone from behind a rock, then hop in your car, and in 10 minutes you can be at that rock formation. They've shot hundreds of Westerns around the Alabama Hills ever since Fatty Arbuckle first shot there in 1920, and Quentin Tarantino used it the same rocks in Django Unchained. And not just Westerns. If you like Rudyard Kipling, you'll find locations for Gunga Din, Kim, and many other movies you thought were shot in India. There are screenings of Lone Pine movies starring Tim Holt, Audie Murphy, Gene Autry, Robert Taylor, Randolph Scott, many more. There are tours of locations tied to various movies and series like Have Gun Will Travel. Guests include Bruce Boxleitner, Robert Carradine, Darby Hinton, that's Israel from Daniel Boone, and double Emmy winning screenwriter Kirk Ellis, who wrote John Adams and Into the West.
Oh, we just met him.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah.
We just were at a house concert at his home.
Oh, very nice.
In Santa Fe, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, what a delightful couple.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, now, if you happen to be near to Wilcox, Arizona, October 5th through the 8th, and many people will be, you'll want to attend Rex Allen Days. Rex Allen, the Arizona Cowboy, was the last great singing cowboy. He had two great sidekicks, Lim Pickens and Buddy Ebsen. And even if you never saw those films, you know his voice if you grew up with Walt Disney Presents, because he narrated all of those, their animal and nature stories, all those Tommy the Beaver that thought he was a narwhal kind of things. They're having a rodeo, junior rodeo, car shows, concerts, gun shows, a rodeo queen pageant. Bobby, you've been in.
And you're too kind.
And because the event is to honor Rex, there will be a conversation with his son, Rex Jr., about the Rex Allen Legacy Project. And if you find yourself in Spain the following weekend, and you might, from Thursday, October 12th through the Sunday the 14th, or Saturday the 14th, sorry, you must attend the 13th annual Almeria Western Film Festival, held near where Sergio Leone, Sergio Corbucci, and Sergio Saliba made their spaghetti westerns. Yes,
oh, how interesting. Let's get our tickets.
And on November 10th at the Airtel Hotel in Van Nuys, the Real Cowboys, that's Real with two E's, will hold their Silver Spur Award show. It's an elegant dinner program, and this year's honorees are Rosie Greer from Daniel Boone, Kathy Garver. Everyone knows her from Family Affair, but she did tons of TV westerns of the 50s and 60s. Monty Markham from Guns of the Magnificent Seven, Burton Gilliam from Blazing Saddles, and stuntman Jason Rodriguez. And it will benefit the Gary Sinise Foundation.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, and please check out the October issue of True West. It's a Tombstone issue. I think that's when you held up. Mm-hmm.
We haven't got October.
We didn't get October yet. You have it? Can you hold it up?
I thought you were holding it up, so I didn't. But hold on. Okay. Hold on. Here it is.
There we go. Here's the one before it. There's Tombstone.
Featuring my interview with Dana Delaney, which is just.
That's right.
She is so fun. Yeah. She shared it all over Twitter, which really delighted me. She really was pleased with it. And my newest INSP blog, I compared the three versions of Stagecoach, and incidentally, John Wayne's wins. You can read all about this and so much more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Oh, so much going on.
Yes.
Yeah. We appreciate you sending that trailer to that Outlaw Johnny Black film, I guess, which is coming out here shortly.
Yeah, how do you like that?
I like that.
Good. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, it sounded like it was a fun movie.
Oh, well, we thank you, Henry, for getting us up to speed. I know when we bring our next two guests on, I think Tom Hyatt is very familiar with the Lone Pine area. Let's go ahead and welcome our next two guests. Let's bring on Tom Hyatt, and we're going to be listening and chatting with Daryl Arnold by phone. I think, Daryl, are you in Arizona?
I'm in Northwest Arizona, almost in Utah.
Okay. So we're all over the map. We've got L.A. and Albuquerque. And Tom, where are you?
El Cajon, just outside of San Diego.
Yeah, and Arizona. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you with us. Do you want to go ahead and say a little something about our...
We have to have a short bios here of both Tom and Daryl. We'll start with Daryl. Daryl's a product of La Vida, Colorado. Now, La Vida, Colorado is about 900 people. That's a small little town. But he has a Bachelor of Science degree from Colorado State. He's had a lot of different jobs. He's been a firefighter. He's been a hunting guide. He's been an outfitter. And he's been a photojournalist. He's also been an editor for Western Horseman magazine. And he started his own magazine, Cowboy Magazine. He's done a lot of different things besides a little poetry here from this book, right?
Yeah.
Welcome, Daryl.
So, Daryl, since you can't see us, we're holding up the book, A Bard in Boots, which we'll be talking about at greater length in a couple of minutes. And we're delighted that you're joining us. And now we're going to introduce Tom.
You know, Tom's a dear friend of ours. We've known him for a long time, and he's a great, great musician. His little bio says, the son of the West, because his warm, emotion-filled voice is enthralled people from Montana to Arizona, from Pacific to the Atlantic. magnificent landscapes and the people who live in them fill the stories of the ballads Tom writes and sings. Working cowboys, historic legendary characters, changes in the modern West, and more. Voted one of the top five acts in Western music, he has appeared with other popular cowboy singers and poets such as Ian Tyson, Chris LeDoux, and Don Edwards at many cowboy poetry and music festivals throughout the country. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. I don't know if I can follow that grand introduction or
not. Yeah, you can.
and Daryl, we've just been holding up many of my collection of Tom Hyatt CDs, of course, including the one we'll be talking specifically about tonight, the collaboration of the two of you, Five from the Heart of the West. So welcome, gentlemen. We're delighted to have you with us tonight. Do you want to start with
Thank
a question
you.
For Daryl?
Of course.
Go ahead.
You know, we're talking about poetry and songs and music collaboration. How did you fellows meet, Tom and Daryl?
Yeah.
When did you first?
Tom started it. He was looking for a song to honor Mackie Hedges of Iowan Country Buckaroo, and I happen to have one on cowboypoetry.com, Margo Melagrano's great website that is no longer in existence. And Tom saw it and read it and wanted to write a song, put music to my poem, Cow Work, and he did that. And so we met kind of over the phone.
Very good. You know, going back to the poetry book here, where did they go? Here?
I got
Barn
it. Right,
Boots.
I have it right here.
You know, in both the other book you have, Cowboy Poetry Gathering.
Yeah, Poultry Gathering.
You have a lot of illustrations in there from a fellow by the name of Walt Whitman. How did you meet him?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your last question.
We have a mutual admiration for Walt LaRue, and we know that you used a number of his illustrations for the book. Can you tell us a little bit about how you and Walt met?
Yeah, it was kind of serendipitous that Henry mentioned Paint Your Wagon, because Walt and Richard Farnsworth were both in that movie as doubles and stunt people. But anyway, I met Richard Farnsworth first at a celebrity rodeo in Colorado Springs. And subsequently, I went to California to do an interview of him about his cowboy life, movie life, rodeo life. And we met at the Pickwick restaurant, which is on the edge of Griffith Park, and it's where all the cowboys hung out, actors and stunt people, and he brought Walt with him. And I spent three glorious hours listening to those two guys tell movie stories, and I was so enthralled that I forgot to turn my tape recorder on, so I missed recording that wonderful session.
Yeah.
We know him, but we created a show around Walt LaRue's work in our store back in Santa Rita a number of years ago. And that's where I found out about him and his connection with Farnsworth. And the fact that we were looking at a picture back from 1946 in the Madison Square Garden in the pro rodeo event that year. And the two of them were standing in the back row back, you know, right next to each other.
Right next to each other.
And somebody had to point that out. We wouldn't have recognized the young guys.
We never got to meet Walt. We kind of met him through family that we made connections with. So it's really fun to see his work used in your poetry book and to learn about the relationship, special relationship you two had together. He was known for drawing on plates and paper plates and napkins and all kinds of things, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Any time Walt sat down, he started making a drawing. We were at Elko, and it was breakfast time, and somebody wanted him to draw a piece of art on a on a little biscuit plate, and he did with his Sharpie. Pretty soon there were a line of people stealing biscuit plates lined up at Walt's booth, having him draw pictures for them. So it was another wonderful Walt moment.
Yes. We had some people, when we did this special show, we had people bring in and show us their Walt LaRue pieces, envelopes that had, you know, he had drawn on, and the tops of letters and paper plates and dishware. So, very fun.
Absolutely. Well, Walt has worked for me almost the whole time I published Cowboy Magazine. And I had piles and piles of Walt's illustrations, and I have a whole collection of about 60 Walt LaRue originals on manila envelopes that he sent his stuff to me in.
Wow. I'm going to try to hold, this is probably this, for the people that are watching, this is a Walt LaRue, I'm not getting it very well, in the camera at the bottom of the page, this is stage wagon, stagecoach being pulled by a number of horses, and it's that type of illustration that is partly what makes this book so much fun. What else do you have for Daryl?
We have a couple more questions, but I know that Daryl would want to shout out to a couple people. You know, we have a Sally Harper Bates, and we have Jane Ferrer, and we have a Virginia Bennett.
Yes.
And those all play an important role, I think, in your work, right, Daryl?
Right. Sally Bates also wrote cowboy poetry for me and wrote stories for Cowboy Magazine and even did a couple of cover photographs of cowboys. She's from Prescott, Arizona area. And Sally has been a stalwart in the cowboy poetry ranks since way back in the 80s when the movement started. And she also has a publishing business, Arizona Cowboy Connection. And she's the one who published my book, and she writes novels. She's an ordained minister. She's a woman, a Renaissance woman, really. And if it hadn't have been for her, I would not have had a book published. I just love her to death. And Jane Ferrer runs yourdailypoem.com, a terrific website. And she's got a great taste in poets because she lets me have a space on her website every now and then. And then Virginia Bennett is another of the great cowgirl poets of our time. She's even performed at the Smithsonian, and she's a marvelous woman. And all of those people, you know, are clever and intelligent and worth knowing just for knowing them. They're very talented, very wonderful people.
Very good.
Yeah, that's terrific. Tom, you and Daryl have collaborated more than once. We're going to talk about the new album. Before we take our first little break, our only little break, can you tell us a little bit about how you and Daryl kind of got the idea to create this album of five songs?
Yes. I had recorded one of Daryl's songs, as he mentioned, Cowwork, on the Good Night from Texas album. And and it really turned out well. And Daryl got a hold of me and said, "Tom, would you like to do some more of my poems?" And I said, "Yeah." So he sent me some and I went through them. And if I remember right, Ian and Charlie jumped out at me because, of course, I love Charlie Russell and Ian Tyson to get, you know, both. So that was the first one that we collaborated on. And it took me a while because most of the time it's hard to just read the poem as it is and sing it. So I had to make minor changes to get at the flow. Sometimes poets write such great lines, but you can't get them out of your mouth very easily when they're, you know, very flowery and beautiful. It's hard to spit them out. So I asked Daryl, would he mind if I started kind of doing some minor rewrites on some of the lines so that I would be able to sing them when I put a melody to them? And he said, no, go ahead. And I, of course, ran it by Daryl every time I made a change. And we kept back and forth, basically on the phone or email. You know, I'd say, how do you like this? How do you like that? And he'd say, well, I like this, but I don't like that. So I just keep, we keep grinding it out, and I'd keep working. And gradually we got to where we, I could sing it, and he enjoyed what I did with it. And that kind of the way it transpired through four more after Ian and Charlie.
We're going to take a very short, like 30-second break to hear a word from our sponsor, Out West Shop. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Ian and Charlie, and then we're actually going to play a bit of it. So don't go away, everybody. Stay right where you are.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet. Tonight we're talking with Henry Park, Daryl Arnold, and Tom Hyatt.
And it's about stories and poems and songs, right? Henry, do you have a question for Daryl or Tom before we talk a little bit more about the first song?
I was enjoying your music. Tom, Daryl, Jim and Bobby Jean sent me links to some of your music before I was on the show, which was great because I enjoyed them so much. And in fact, I have heard and enjoyed the one about Charlie Russell, quite a while ago. So I just, I don't have anything.
That's all right.
I'm throwing in an endorsement at the beginning.
Wow, the pressure's off.
Yeah. Daryl, before we play the first song, how did you know that it was that your poem and Tom's music had come together and you said to yourself, this is it? What was it that told you, we've got a song?
Well, to start with, Tom is what I think of as a musical genius. He is able to come up with a unique tune for every song. None of them sound like the other songs. They're all wonderful and special, and he's quite talented at what he does. And I was just thrilled to have him involved in any of them. And it didn't take much. I mean, I'd send him a poem. He'd send me a melody, and they worked wonderfully. I'm just in awe of what he can do.
Tom, you have another comment, or shall we just go ahead and play Ian and Charlie?
Well, after that great compliment, maybe let's just play a little bit of Charlie.
All right. So This is from the album, Five Songs from the Heart of the West. This is Ian and Charlie.
He is gazing at a painting of cowboy life in the old Wild West, and it proves that Charlie Russell always painted that life best. With Ian Tyson music gently lilting through the air, 100 years between them, still they make the perfect pair. In cattle country, life is special, with that big sky and open lands, where he is one with nature, all created by God's hands. Tuneless music from the cities drives him near insane. And modern art that's hanging there can overload his brain. At his home ranch in Montana, he can't see and he can't hear. A Charlie Russell on his wall, Ian Tyson in his ear. And every ranching neighbor, every cowboy, one and all, sings along to an Ian song and Charlie hanging on the wall.
Ian and Charlie.
That was great music.
It's wonderful music.
Yeah.
And
you.
Daryl, you didn't see, but Henry's applauding.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me have a little control of the music. This show is so short, really. The 50 minutes go so fast that it was kind of you to allow me to kind of shorten up a little bit of what we're going to play so that our audience can hear the fabulous words and music and Tom Hyatt's voice. Oh my gosh.
Fantastic.
Now, this song, Ian and Charlie, I think you both had, you both knew Ian, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Daryl, do you want to tell us just a little bit about how you met Ian or your relationship with Ian over the years? Anything you want to say about that?
It was fascinating. I reviewed his music, and we were friends for most of the time. He did one album that I did not like, and I panned it in my magazine, and he didn't speak to me for 7 years, but we kissed and made up, and were friends to the end.
You write about that at in some of the back part of Bard and Boots. You give us a lot of really wonderful kind of backstories to things, and I thoroughly enjoyed what you wrote about Ian. I never had the opportunity to meet him, and so I kind of live vicariously through all of you. Tom, you want to share a little bit about Ian?
Sure. I just love it. His music to death, you know. I myself am not a true purist when it comes to the traditional cowboy music. I like it, but most of those albums you have in your hand there are fairly contemporary. They're produced, you know, I've got drums, pianos, fiddles, very much like Ian's music was arranged. And I like that sound. So I gravitate toward that kind of a sound. And it's just his arrangements just fit his songs so well. And that magical voice that he had, it just pleased everybody, especially the working ranching people who he could identify with, being a horseman himself. And it just, that's what I tried to capture in this song, you know, treasuring Charlie Russell as the great artist of the American West. To me, Ian, yeah, that's what I loved about this song that Daryl has written, this poem. It's just capturing, and it just really fits the two, and I think it's a well-deserved tribute to those two people.
It really is. You know, when we first came west and I was involved at the Autry Museum, we had a number of Charlie Russell pieces, and I would look at them and kind of go like, really, those colors? Really? And then we went to Montana.
Yes.
And I was like, I get it. I get it.
Yes, yes. It's just... you know, a lot of people will say, well, I like Frederick Remington better than Charlie Russell. And yeah, the two are like apples and oranges. You know, you can't really compare the two. However, it's like Remington went west, photographed, sketched, and then went back home to the east to his studio. Well, Charlie was out there living the life and in the West. And I know that in one of the Remington paintings, the one of the cowboys has a spur on upside down. And there's people go, Charlie would never do that. You know. So I think as working cowboys kind of lean toward the art of Charlie Russell.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I love about this song is Ian, of course, wrote a beautiful, his kind of tribute to Charlie the Gift.
Yes.
But this is not that song, but it's a lovely, it's kind of a tribute to Ian and Charlie. It's just really,
yes,
special.
Yeah. I think Ian's The Gift was his tribute to, yeah, Charlie Russell. Kid Russell, as Charles was called at times. And that's what I try to mention. Daryl had the great idea in this song of mentioning some of the works of Charlie Russell, the titles, and some of the titles of Ian's songs, which really presented me with a problem of how do I get those song titles and those art titles blended into the song. So I had to edit them a little bit, but we managed the arrangement and worked in some of the song titles of the paintings and some of Ian's song titles. I think it turned out very well. Mm-hmm. As a tribute.
As we moved from the East to the West, we learned about water and lack of water. And what happens when you live in areas where you think there'll be water and then there isn't water. And you two have collaborated on the second song that we're going to talk about, Never Cuss the Rain. So Daryl, tell us a little bit about what inspired the poem.
Ian wrote a song about the rain. I can't think of the title of it right now.
Yeah.
It's so many ranching people. I mean, you watch the sky. That's what you do when you're in the ranching business. But sometimes God blesses you maybe a little too much. So, yeah. And those times you kind of wonder, is this good or bad? But you're always grateful for rain, always grateful. So mm-hmm. it's just a ranching thing. Everybody thinks about it every day. It matters. Rain matters to Westerners.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you want to comment?
This is one that pretty much, I think, as I recall, Daryl had it down perfect, and I just basically made up a melody and worked a chorus out of one of the verses, if I remember right. And it all just really fell into place very nicely. I didn't have to really work hard at, altering anything. It just flowed right out. And it's true, being living in Arizona a lot before I moved over here, and doing some of watching out for that rain over there. And you're glad when you get it. And sometimes, as Daryl said, sometimes you feel a little overblessed when it's 6 inches deep, but you'll be missing it soon enough.
Yeah. Daryl, I'm holding up the book, and I've opened it to the page for Never Cuss the Rain, and there's a wonderful Walt LaRue illustration that goes along with this. And, okay, everybody, again, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We're going to listen to Never Cuss the Rain from the album 5 from the Heart of the West. Don't go away.
Lord, I hate to complain, but this ranch is needing rain. Some coming day, please find a way to send a little rain. Storm clouds are building to the west. Looks like my prayer was heard, but the wind just blew some fences down. I better go check the herd. Come on, Brownie, trailer up. Never act this way. It's really pouring buckets now. Looks like it's here to stay. just what I thought. The herd has scattered tails to the wind. And these old wipers on this truck are just about done in. I should have fixed this window so it would roll back up. Hot coffee now would hit the spot, sure wish I had a cup. But I'll never cuss the rain, I won't cuss the rain. Oh, I'll be here this time next year, cause there's so much to gain. If I've said it once, I've said it twice, I'll never cuss the rain. The road is slick from all this mud, and ain't it just my luck? The trailer slid off in the ditch, and now the pickup's stuck.
They just keep getting better, don't they?
That was never.
It gets a little worse. Before a horse goes off in the ditch, and he's got to ride old Brownie home. But yeah.
So that is a second song from the new album, Five from the Heart of the West, and another really, really just a wonderful song. You know, the imagery, again, in the words, Daryl, that you write, and then what Tom does with them, and the final lyric, we can see it. We can taste it, touch it. We can smell it. We know what it's like to be stuck. We know that we really want to cuss when we really shouldn't, because we need to be grateful for that rain. And I think that's you guys have just hit the mark. That's a fabulous song, just wonderful. Yeah,
thank you.
We have another one.
All right, do you want to tell us a little bit about song number three, The Legacy of Louis L'Amour? Who'd like to go first?
I'll let Daryl, because he's he met Louis. I never had the chance, unfortunately. Tell him your Louis L'Amour story, how that all came about, Daryl.
Louis was in Colorado Springs at a public meeting fighting the electric company that was going to build a electric line across his ranch down by Hesperus near Durango, Colorado. And I managed to get an address, I think, and wrote him a letter. I was a Western Horseman at the time. I said, could I do a story on you? And we could mention that problem. And Louis, of course, jumped on it. And I had a coworker, Gary Voorhees, who had read every Louis L'Amour Western, and I had not. So I offered Gary the chance to be the author of the article, and I would be the photographer. So we went down to his house, and he very graciously let us in, even though I got there about 4 hours too early, right in the middle of his creative time. And he and Kathy were so nice to us, even though we kind of ruined his creative morning. And he's a good man. And I also ended up meeting his daughter on the set of Conniger, on that movie. Louis was, he said he had, he was at the time, this was in 1989 or so, he said, I wish I had another 100 years to live because I have that many stories to tell. Mm-hmm. He had two libraries, one in Durango and one in L.A., and they were full of journals and records of what happened to people moving west. And he had a photographic memory. He could remember all of those stories, and he would regurgitate them with new characters. And what a wonderful, wonderful man he was.
Tom, anything to share?
Yeah. I've read every one of the books several times. My father started reading them and then passing them on to me. And, yeah, I've got a collection of all the old paperbacks. I just love them all to death. And I really wish I could have met him. And Daryl neglected to mention the cover on one of the Western Horseman issues that it is of Louis L'Amour at his barn. That picture was taken by Daryl. Uh-huh. And so if all you old-timers out there still have your back issues of Western Horseman back about that time, you will remember that there was Louis L'Amour on the cover of Western Horseman. And that's a Daryl Arnold photograph.
That's fabulous.
Very good.
Henry, do you have any comments on Louis L'Amour?
Well, I'm sorry. I was busy reading Louis L'Amour. What were you? No.
Right at your fingertips.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, yeah, I'm also a big fan, grew up reading them, and a lot of them were my father's copies, too. And I was just wondering, because a lot of the L'Amour stories have been filmed, if Tom or Daryl, if you had a favorite film or TV movie based on the Louis L'Amours.
I will speak first. I have to say Carniger, because I got to be part of that movie. I took photographs there. I was part of the, I found them the set for the Teal House, the ranch they did a whole bunch of the movie on. And I was also already acquainted with Sam and Catherine, Sam Elliott and Catherine Ross, who starred in the movie, and Barry Corbin through my job. My job had lots of perks, and it was meeting a lot of famous people. So anyway, and then Kathy L'Amour was on that set. So Conniger is a number one.
Tom?
Yeah, I love that movie too. I think, Henry, you just showed a cover of The Shadow Riders, I think.
That's right.
I saw it flash up there. And I really like that one that was made for TV. But I think The Sackets, the original TV movie, The Sackets, is still probably still my favorite, you know. And I just love Sam Elliott and Jeff Osterhage and Tom Selleck. They just, those guys, you know, they are the epitome of the Louis L'Amour hero. I mean, you know, even the ones they made singly, like, you know, Conniger or Crossfire Trail or any of those. I just love them all. I just wish they could have made 100 more. You know, every one of those books, it's a movie in itself. It just, oh, wow, fantastic.
I've got to talk to Tom Selleck about that. And boy, does he wish they could have done a couple
yes.
more.
So to our listening audience, whether you're listening tonight or down the road, leave a comment on the page, this LA Talk Radio Facebook page, and tell us what's your favorite Louis L'Amour book or movie. And let's take a listen to The Legacy of Louis L'Amour. Don't go away.
I rode back to camp before sundown. Had time to tack four on the bay. Restitched the horn flap on my saddle. Split wood by the last light of day. Plum dark when I finished my supper. Washed dishes by kerosene light. Then picked up a paperback novel as a lone coyote howled in the night. Of all of the writers who told of the West, you did it better than all of the rest. The stories you told are now legend and lore. Thanks for the legacy, Louis L'Amour. By lantern light there in the bunkhouse, an evening breeze rattles the door. I ride the old West with his heroes, the partners of Louis L'Amour. I'm riding past cactus and tall pines, drinking a smoke-filled saloon. I'm out on the trail with the ranger who tracks by the light of the moon. Told of the bold men who settled this land, their hearts full of honor, determined to stand against all the hard times, dangers, and more. A part of your legacy, Louis L'Amour.
All right.
Oh,
that's so Daryl Arnold, Legacy of Louis L'Amour.
Oh, it was super. Again, it's just poetic. And I can picture that cowboy. And it's, you know, that a working cowboy would also feel that that his stories are, you know, we don't all want to come home and read about what we do for a living, you know, but that working in the West, working ranching, working cattle, you know, that is still a subject that the people that work it want to know about and be involved in. And that just captures it just perfectly, gentlemen, just perfectly. I'm looking at our time, how fast this has been going. So we have a couple of questions. Daryl, do you have any kind of a tip for poets?
Yeah, make it rhyme and have good meter. If it doesn't rhyme and you don't have the meter, if you write poetry that doesn't rhyme, it's not going to last. 100 years from now, nobody will know you ever wrote anything. But if you write precise rhymes, beautiful meter that's easy to memorize, you'll last forever.
You know, you mentioned going to see Louis L'Amour and interrupting his creative time. Do you have do you have for yourself a kind of a creative time?
If I can, I like mornings first, just to get up and go to writing. That's the best time for me.
Best time for you. Tom, do you have a creative time?
Yeah. Now, I know that besides Daryl, Ian also said he loved to get up real early in the morning. It doesn't work that way for me. It's usually 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, I guess early in the morning. But it's usually late at night when it's quiet and I can concentrate. But yeah, I go in right here where I'm sitting, all five of these songs we did, right here in front of the computer. You know, I'll strum it out. My guitar's back over here. I'll pick it up and I'll sing something. And then, you know, I like the computer, because I can keep sliding lines around and going up and mixing things around, you know. Yeah. That's how I put it actually onto something. That's what I really love about the computer. And so, yeah, it's usually real early morning for me.
Tom, well, actually, this could be a question for both of you, but I know some songwriters, you know, and authors, they'll keep a little notebook with them all the time, or they're talking into their phone. They get an idea. They hear a dialogue, you know. Do you both have a way that you capture those thoughts that come when you're not at home or at your computer?
I never travel anywhere without a pocket notebook and a pen. It's part of me, and that's where the gem of an idea starts. If you don't write it down, you're going to lose it. So that's what it is for me.
Tom?
Well, luckily, when I start into, if something hits me on the spur of the moment, yeah, I'll jot the lines down. But I like to, for instance, Good Night from Texas, the title of that CD. I was at Charles Goodnight's grave when that idea hit me. And I'm just describing being, you know, the kind of a condensed version of Charles Goodnight's life in that song. And I wrote that. We got back in the truck. We were heading to Indiana. And I was there at the gravesite and driving out of that little cemetery. All of a sudden, it just started coming like crazy. And I started singing them out loud. And it stuck. And I, within probably by the time in the next day or two, I had the whole thing in my head and I was singing it and grabbed my guitar so I wouldn't forget it. And then I sang it all the way back, making some alterations and so forth. And then I did a demo as soon as I got back. Wow. So when the inspiration hits, it's with me, it's usually a full song. It's right. Not just some lines that I've saved. Yeah. I've done that. But normally with me, I get the whole thing in my head and it just flows. It just comes right out. Okay. And I've talked to a lot of songwriters and they don't know the process either. It's like me. It's like something is just guiding you.
Yeah.
And it just flows out. And you don't even know what it is. But something out there just funnels through you. And those kind of, now, a lot of them, yeah, I fought and, you know, but there's numerous ones. Something just flows out of you.
Yeah.
It just comes from somewhere, you know, in the ether. It just flows out, and I can't tell you what that is. And I've talked to a lot of songwriters, and they say the same thing.
Same thing. Henry, I'm looking at our countdown. Where can people find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
Oh, well, yes, they can follow me, of course, at Henry's Western Roundup at www.henrysWesternRoundup.blogspot.com. And, of course, in True West Magazine every month. And I write usually a couple of blogs a month for the INSP channel, so you can certainly find them there.
Terrific.
Very good.
We really thank you all for being with us tonight. And if you're interested in Daryl's book or Tom's CDs, the way to do that is go ahead and leave me a message on our Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook page or email us at outwestshop@gmail.com, and we will get in touch with Tom or with Daryl and get you what you need. Our guest next week is W. Michael Farmer, and we'll be chatting about his book, Trini Come. I started it last night. I can't put it down. Thank you so much for being with us. I know we're out of time on quotes. I'm so sorry. We'll see you again.
And remember.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy trails.
Remember, every day is a great day.
Out west. We'll see you down the trail. Thanks, thank you,
guys.
Everybody.
Adios.
Thank you.